Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everybody.
And Bishop Ben.
Greetings, everybody, too.
So we took a little bit of a long break. Instead of a one-month break, it ended up being a two-month break because we had to deal with Hurricane Helene.
I thought it was because Bishop Ben was on an extended vacation.
Well, he did go to Vegas for a while, but I mean, we would have gone on without him, even if he was in Vegas. But no, Hurricane Helene kind of came through our area and kind of devastated the area. And so we've been working to get back to some semblance of normality in the area. And actually, the topic for tonight's podcast and the start of our season 10 is actually inspired by Hurricane Helene. Reverend Mark and I were talking one night as we sat smoking cigars in at his house because he had power and we didn't. And this was kind of one of those ideas that came out of that. That is, are we actually suffering, or are we just inconvenienced? Because we went through a period, I think Reverend Mark had power out for like 6 days, and we had power out for 8 days, and then I spoke with somebody at the church today who had no power for 11 days. And so, I mean, were we really suffering, or we were just inconvenienced by these things? And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Since you came up with the idea.
Yeah, well,
start you off.
I think a lot of times we read a lot about suffering in Scripture. We read a lot about suffering around the world. And then we go through situations where, like with our hurricane, you know, no one expected the level of devastation that Augusta,
right,
and the surrounding communities experienced that evening or that night. And, you know, I woke up right when the power went out that morning at about 4 o'clock and was laying in bed, and just, I'll never forget the sound.
Right.
It was insane. Just the amount of wind, and of course it had been raining. And you wake up the next morning, there's no power. Wake up the next morning and, you know, chunks of my roof are in the yard, shingles, that is, and, you know, you don't know what to do, and
right,
it's like, how do you get a hold of people? And so, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on, and, you know, you feel the pressure of having to adapt and to change and to adjust, and how do I go about my normal life? Because there is no normalcy there, because everything's disrupted. We don't have electricity. We can't get out. Trees are down. And, you know, food spoils because it's out for so many days, the electricity, that is. And you know, it's an aggravation. It is, you know, you have moments where you're, that routine is disrupted.
Right.
And I became frustrated because you don't know what's going on beyond your little neighborhood you're in. And you start asking, you know, is my sister okay? Is my parents okay? Or
right.
Are my congregants okay? Are my friends okay? And, you know, and then you step back and you're like, oh, thank God I'm okay. And then you start hearing the reports. There was what? Last count I read was 32 dead.
Right.
And the majority, maybe all but three or four of those people died from trees crashing through their homes,
right,
and killing them. And things kind of start getting into perspective, and you see a lot of people jumping on Facebook and, you know, they're complaining about this or talking about that. And, you know, I think we're so blessed in America that even when we have tragedies like this, now stuff that happened in North Carolina is, you know, definitely beyond comprehension, where entire towns are just wiped off the map because of flooding. You know, that's a little different. I'm talking about us here locally. You know, we're more, you realize you're more inconvenienced to things because while, yes, I didn't have gas in abundance for days, no electricity, you know, I was still able to function. I had food I could eat. I had things I could consume. I could communicate with people.
Right.
You know, yeah, I was where, you know, I was having to charge my phone in the car and run my gas out, but, you know, eventually I was able to get gas. And, you know, fortunately I was off from work for 6 days, and then the church was without power, so that we couldn't hold services.
Right.
So I didn't have to be anywhere. You know, but you're concerned for everybody else, and it really puts into perspective of how blessed we are to be able to recover so quickly, at least the majority of us. There's many people that are still displaced because their homes were either devastated or, you know, a tree landed and it split in two.
Right.
And at no point did I go hungry. But there's places all around the world that can't say that.
Right.
There's people around the world from natural devastations that, you know, have been years trying to recover.
Right.
And, you know, within less than a month, we were back to a routine for the majority of us. Many people, again, still dealing with things. But are we blessed? Are we inconvenienced? Or are we suffering? And, you know, I think each of us has to ask that question.
Right.
And each of us has to answer it.
I think so many people were kind of, they kind of thought maybe they were living the life of Job for a little while there.
Right.
They're ready to sit on in their yard and scrape their wounds and, you know, cry for help, you know. But, in reality, you know, we fared a lot better than, you know, many of the places around us, like Asheville, North Carolina. Some of the cities up there where they may never find all the people that were affected just simply because of the, you know, complete devastation of the city. And, you know, but so many people too, and I noticed this on social media off and on is, you know, Luna and I were trying to get out to people accurate information about what resources were available, where curfews were, what the curfews were, alternative sheltering and things of that nature out to people. The one thing that, you know, struck me over and over and over again was how you know, being without power for a lot of people, and I'm not talking people with medical necessities and things, but just, you know, people that are in good health and everything, being without power was like the end of the world for them. Right. And, you know, God help them, the internet was down.
Right.
You know, forget that we had just gone through a Category 1 hurricane hitting Augusta, Georgia. I mean, which, as far as I'm aware, has never happened in the history of Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And so, forget that for a minute. The biggest problem was, I don't have electricity and I don't have internet. And so, you know, it was very interesting to me to see that that was considered suffering. Yeah. I'm being inconvenienced to the point that it's now suffering and persecution. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, we lived as humanity for years without electricity. We lived for centuries without internet. I mean,
running water.
Yeah. I mean, you had to go to the well in the middle of the city to get water.
And here we had semi trucks bringing in bottles of water for us.
So right.
We didn't have to go to wells.
Right. And I even thought about it as I jumped in the very cold shower.
Yeah.
Because I ended up taking a shower before Mark's power came back on, before ours came back on. And, yes, it was ice cold. And it certainly gave me a good little start, and it made my arthritis flare up. But I didn't have to go out and bring a bucket full of water to fill up a tub. You know, it was pumped right into my home, where I could freeze my butt off in my shower without prying eyes. You know?
Buckets of water.
Right. So, I mean, all things told, we're very blessed.
Right.
You know, and I think the moment that it really hit for me, that concept, is we're sitting out. Luna and I created a fire pit in the front yard, with the idea that some of the neighbors could come and gather around if they wanted to and that kind of thing. None of them did. They preferred to sit inside their dark homes and bitch and moan about the darkness. So,
hot, dark home.
The hot darkness, yes. And we sat out in front of the fire, and Luna decided she wanted a bag of popcorn. Well, all we had in the house was microwave popcorn. So what did she do? She went and got a pan and that bag of microwave popcorn and put it in the pan and put it over the fire.
There you go.
And sat there and popped. Now half of it burned in the bag. But, but it was popcorn, you know, and... You know, we were able to heat things up over the fire. We were able to cook things out on the grill in the back and stuff like that. So we fared pretty well. And most people around us did too. You know, nobody went without food. Nobody went without, you know, at least the majority of their necessities met. But there were people who lost their homes, lost everything they had. A dear friend of ours, Sid Gates, Dr. Sid Gates, he lost his home, you know, in the midst of all of this. But even in that, it's really an inconvenience because, you know, nowadays we have insurance, we have the ability to rebuild or buy new, you know, it's not the sorrow and tribulations that many people made it out to be.
Because, you know, you step back and you begin to look at, you know, I could have went days even probably a couple weeks and been able to eat. It may not have been exactly what I wanted to eat, but I had the, you know, I had enough stuff in my cupboard there to, your pantry to get what I needed.
Right.
And, I had bought some stuff before the hurricane, not thinking, you know, it was just a day for me to go buy some stuff. I wasn't thinking that we'd have what we had. Right. And we've had tropical storms come through and we lose power for a few hours and then we're fine. But, you know, this was a whole lot different. And, you know, true suffering comes when, you know, you lose everything and there's no hope or there's no ability for you to be able to rebuild. Or,
right.
You know, you're complete, you know, there's people that are completely displaced in various countries. I mean, up in Asheville, North Carolina, you've got people that used to live in neighborhoods and they're camped out in tents now, and that is their neighborhood.
All right.
Absolutely. I can't fathom that. And when I realize that, you know, I'm just being inconvenienced, I step back and I go, you know, I'm a blessed person. You know,
yes, indeed.
I live in a country that, for all its faults, there are some things that it gets right. Now I'm not, you know, and we were able to have the National Guard come out and be able to assist us and different organizations and responses. And I'm not under the delusion that all of Augusta was in the same boat that I was in. There's many people that didn't have access to food and had very limited supply. You know, they have their kids and family members. We have people in our church that had to go to emergency shelters because they had generators and they had to take their family members who were on oxygen.
Right.
So that, you know, but they were blessed enough to be able to go somewhere.
Right.
And we really need to remember that, yeah, it's hard, it's difficult, but at the end of the day, we're breathing. End of the day, we can go to sleep and wake up the next day and continue to do better.
Right.
We can, you know, I didn't go hungry. You know, I cut back on how much I did eat. I had a sandwich in the morning and then something in the afternoon. Bishop brought pizza to me once and then a hamburger or a hot dog or something like that from y'all's school. They were giving out food. And, you know what I enjoyed the most about all of it was just the being able, I cherished the time that we were able to just sit there and talk to each other. You know, there were no distractions. We had to be careful how much we were on our phones.
Right.
Because, you know,
battery was precious.
Battery life was precious. And, you know, we had to be, fortunately, we don't live too far from each other. So,
right.
But at the same time, I realized that it could have been worse.
Sure.
And I had many things to be thankful for, and yes, I was inconvenienced. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to put myself in the St. Francis category or the Gandhi categories or the other people that have gone into the world to try to right injustices and have lost their lives.
Right.
You know, that's true suffering, you know. And while their reward, I believe, in the next life is wonderful, sure, they suffer in this life here. So it really slowed me down to realize life is too fast for us here.
Right.
We overlook too much and not realize how blessed we are. And we need to pause and be more thankful on a continual basis.
Indeed. Bishop Ben, you have any thoughts?
No, you actually covered it well, but you know, I was gonna say to people that are non-clergy or non-understanding of things, how would a lay person discern suffering versus merely inconvenience?
You know, I think that's a good question. I think that this is kind of the way I look at it, okay? If you don't have roving gangs of people pulling you out of your home and stealing your stuff, if you don't have people coming and saying, denounce your faith or you're getting shot, you're not being exiled to a foreign country because what you say or do is found to be offensive by your government.
Right.
Then it's likely just inconvenience. You know.
Correct.
Because, and I think that's a good point to make, Bishop Ben, is that we as Americans don't really know suffering. I mean, there are some people who do. There are some people who go to bed hungry every night. There are some people who don't have a roof over their head, don't know where their next meal is coming from, are constantly being, you know, thrown from one city to another or, you know, that kind of thing. But most Americans don't really understand the concept of suffering. You know, because in the reality, most everything that we deal with in our daily lives is not suffering. It's just inconvenience. Now, I mean, I know people who have cancer and are dying. That's suffering. I know people who have had COVID and died. That's suffering. There are women, like in Texas, who died because they weren't given proper medical care after Roe v. Wade was overturned. That's suffering. But the reality is that most of what we go through in America is not true suffering. The internet being down for, you know, 5 or 6 days, that's not suffering. The power being out for 8 or 10 or 12 days is not suffering. Even not being able to drive around town because trees are blocking the road, that's not suffering. You know, especially if you have food and water and everything at the house, you really don't need to be out anyway.
Right.
I mean, but there were people who were spending their whole days parked at the gas station, just waiting for gas, for the power to come on so they could get gas.
I was watching people post on, because several areas had curfews,
right.
Edgefield being one of them. And I was flipping through some page somewhere, Facebook page somewhere, where people were commenting, you're not going to tell me to stay home. You're not going to tell me. And the reason they were telling us to stay home was because there were power lines in the road. There were trees in the road, emergency vehicles, and electric companies, the National Guard, they were all trying to clear that and get that out of the way so that we could resume normalcy.
Well, we lost a lot of people in Augusta, not a lot, but I mean several people in Augusta who got run over because they were walking down a dark street in dark clothes and somebody trying to find gas or get to a store run them over.
Yeah, because we had no streetlights.
There were no streetlights. You know, you could barely see. We had several people die from running into trees that were blocking the road because they couldn't see them, you know.
But by God, they were going to be out.
They were going to be out, you know. And bless them, I hope it was worth every minute of it.
Well, we're so accustomed in our country to just doing everything we want.
Right.
And we think that the minute somebody says, hey, you know, best not be on the road right now. Mm-hmm. We think they're trying to infringe on rights and stuff like that. It's like, folks, this is an emergency situation where there are literally trees in the road.
Right.
There are blockages in the road. You can't get around. I mean, trees were just laying all over roads.
Right.
And, you know, where do you have to be? If you're not an essential worker, you should stay home until we can get back out. And thankfully, within days, we were able to.
Yes.
But people were online acting like their rights were being just ripped away by some Nazi. And it's like, folks, we're just trying to clear paths.
Right.
And I get it, you know, the electrical companies, the people that came in from out of state to work, they were working round the clock. They had shifts working round the clock. And most of our lines had to be completely run fresh and new. Telephone poles had to be taken down because they were ripped into and brand new ones put in. I mean, it was a major undertaking.
Yes, it was.
And you got people that didn't need to be anywhere were all ticked off because they couldn't just go at will where they wanted. That's not suffering.
Yeah, no. And it reminds me of, you know, in the early days of COVID, you know, we had the mask mandates, we had the curfews, we had the, you know, social distancing, even the shutdowns and stay at home orders. And people were throwing a fit, you know, the government's not going to tell me I can't go out. Well, most of those died from COVID. So, I mean, I guess they kind of learned their lesson ultimately. But, you know, it was the same concept. You know, they felt that being forced to stay home was somehow oppressive and was a form of suffering. It wasn't. You had food, you had water, you had electricity, you had internet. You had the people that you either loved or didn't love around you. All day. Well, if you didn't love them, that might have been a little bit of suffering. But the point is that, you know, that this was just an inconvenience. It was not true suffering. And yet people made it out as though it was the end of the world. You know. And so, but what we were trying to do during the pandemic was to try to save as many people from getting the disease as humanly possible, because we had no clue what it would do long term.
Right.
You know, today we look back on it 4 years on now, and we know that the more times you get COVID, the more likely you are to get long COVID, which ultimately is deadly. You end up dying from it eventually. It's not a pretty sight. And if people had stayed in instead of, you know, being bullheaded, they wouldn't be suffering from the issues they're suffering from now. But unfortunately, again, people thought that was a bridge too far, that it was suffering. And it was causing them persecution, especially when the churches had to close down. Oh, you would have thought that Hitler himself had walked through the city and declared that all the churches must shut down.
Well, you know, my statement about, you know, we're so free in America to do what we want, that's not a negative. That's it's just we're accustomed so much to, you know, we're the land of the free.
Right.
And the minute we have to pull back and say, okay, we need to scale back a minute. It's the same principle as, you know, when you break your leg or break a foot or something like that. And, you know, you want to go running or you want to go walking or you want to go, you know, do what you normally do. But instead, you have to keep the leg in a boot or the foot in the boot, that is, keep the leg up or put it in a cast, whatever. Right. And so you have to spend time letting that heal. It's the same type of principle, except this is on a mass scale. No one's trying to rip your rights away, and no one's, you know. Now, if they had persisted into they were still doing curfews now,
right?
Then we're talking a different story.
Right.
But having curfews for a few days or a week, just so that, one, people aren't on the road, emergency people are available to the folks doing emergency work,
right,
versus people that don't need to be out, that are just derping around, riding around, causing accidents.
Right.
So, you know, it's just common sense to me But so many people think that, you know, this is just a power grab. Power grabs when they start passing laws and start, you know, infringing, and it becomes a long-term thing.
Right.
I mean, sure, then we can talk. But we're so used to in our country being free to do whatever we want that the minute someone says, no, you can't, it's like a second, you know, it's like there's a, I don't know, a something that rises up in us and we're like, we'll show you.
Right. Boston Tea Party moment all over again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that true, it's not a situation where we have to step back and go, you know, the Lord's trying to test me or trying to want, we were just inconvenienced. And
right.
It should be a wake up call for us to, one, remember how quickly life can change.
Right.
And how quickly things can happen. And that we need to be grateful for what we do have and the blessings that we have.
As you said that, comedian Ron White came to mind. And he said, you know, he got pulled over by a cop one time. He was drunk and driving.
Correct.
Got pulled over by a cop, and the cop goes to put him in cuffs, and he says, Mr. White, you have the right to remain silent. Ron White says, I might have had the right to remain silent, but I did not have the ability. And I think that sums up kind of the American view on things, you know. We may have the right, but we definitely don't have the ability sometimes.
Well, or the ability to just apply, what's that book, Common Sense?
Right.
That probably nobody reads anymore.
Right.
You know, I just, yeah.
Common sense isn't so common anymore, sadly.
That's correct.
You know, people have long abandoned it. I like using the example of Job when it comes to suffering, because Job was a man who understood suffering. Okay. If you need a real explanation of suffering, read the story of Job. Or some people call him Job. It was not written about Steve Jobs. It was written about Job. But anyway,
Don't you go to the book of Job to find a...
Find a job. There you go. It's just like Adam and Eve were the first ones to not read the Apple terms and conditions. So anyway, Job lost everything. He lost all of his crops. He lost all of his animals that he was, you know, taking care of. He lost his children. His wife ultimately walked out on him. He lost his health. He ended up with sores and boils all over his body. His own friends were telling him to curse God and die. You know, there's a guy who understands suffering.
Right.
Okay, when you have to sit on the side of the road in front of what was left of your house and scrape your wounds with pottery, that's suffering. But even in that suffering, what did Job do? He refused to curse God and die.
Right.
Yeah, he got angry. He got frustrated. He had a long dissertation about, why is this happening to me? Why are you picking on me? But he never let it destroy his faith. He never let it cause him to waver.
Yep.
And yet we have so many people today that when they are slightly inconvenienced, they suddenly, their faith goes out the window.
Yeah.
You know, they begin whining, oh, why is this happening to me? Oh, God must be punishing me. No, God's not punishing you. This is just a mere inconvenience.
Right.
You know, we're talking about the God of the universe who could snap his fingers and you just don't exist anymore. I mean, if he really wanted to punish someone, he could punish someone. I don't believe that God stoops to the level of these petty tit-for-tat exchanges where, oh, well, you sinned, so I'm going to make your car blow up today and not work anymore. You know, I just don't think that's how God works.
One of the greatest gifts that God gives us is the gift of our life to function and to do things the way we want to right. make the decisions. Many people will step back, and it's maybe a little controversial. You know, oh, God's in control. God's in control. You know, if God wants to make it happen, it'll just happen. No, no. God gives us the opportunities to make the right choices. God gives us the opportunities to do the right things to other people. God gives us the opportunity to be that grace that extends to people that don't deserve it. And God gives us, do I believe in supernatural intervention? I do. I believe that God can step in and do things supernaturally beyond human's ability.
Right.
But I also believe that God works through individuals to make things happen. You know, that's why the disciples were sent out into the world instead of Jesus ascending to some world platform
right.
to declare the message of the kingdom. Jesus worked through the 12, through the, you know, the other disciples that followed Jesus, and then those that went out from Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. You know, they were all sent out for God to work through.
Right.
And we're given the opportunity to make decisions in our lives based on the leading of the Spirit, based on what we've learned, based on what we know to be grace and truth, to make the choices that lead us to life and godliness. What a Deuteronomy, what is it? Moses was the writing of Deuteronomy. Lord help me, Jesus. I've talked too much today.
Right.
It says, I've placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. And, you know, that's what we should choose each and every time, each and right. every day, each and every minute. I choose life over things that degrade other people, that denigrate other people, that put other people down, and so on and so forth, that cause division, that cause people to be hurt and wounded. And that's, you know, part of choosing life is choosing words correctly. Proverbs chapter 18 tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Right.
And so we should be very watchful at just thinking that whatever happens is, oh, well, that's God's will. You know, well, how do you explain, you know, random weather patterns? It's the earth, you know, things happen. It rains on the just and the unjust.
You mean it? There wasn't some machine that made the hurricane come our direction?
Lord have mercy. This is not the 24th century, and this is not Star Trek.
Right, we don't have the weather control devices yet.
Yeah, the weather modification net, as they called it in Star Trek. No, we don't have that. But I wish we did. That would be wonderful.
Right.
But you know, we are called to go out and make change in the world. We're called to set a watch on our mouth.
Right.
We're called to guard our hearts. We're called to keep our minds stayed on truth and grace and justice. You're not called to make sure that I do those things, and I'm not called to make sure you do those things.
Right.
We do it for ourselves.
Right.
And I know that's controversial theology, and some people don't like that because it puts the responsibility on us and it takes it off of God.
Right.
And we're just not out here flapping in the wind. But I truly believe that we have a responsibility to carry that message that Jesus taught us to the earth. How else is it going to happen?
Right.
God's not buying billboards and putting the message up on the billboards by, you know, the agent Holy Spirit.
Right, right.
We have to do that, and we have to make sure that our life reflects that of the kingdom.
Right. The rabbit is upset that she's not getting enough attention, I think.
I don't know if the rabbit was saying amen or...
I don't know what she's doing. Maybe.
Right.
As you may have been able to tell, we've relocated our studio, and so we're now near the rabbit. And so...
Is Miss Dana giving us homework?
Yeah, this is our homework for the night. No, I made some notes, some possible future podcasts, and so I had her grab them for me so I could try to pick out what our next podcast.
I didn't know if she wrote notes saying, "I don't know what y'all are talking about, but this is better here."
Right, right.
Say these things.
I tell you what, the retreat this morning at MCC was probably better. It was.
Oh no, this is good.
Reverend Mark did a great job.
Or whatever Dana says, that's good too.
And we're actually going to talk about some of the things that he covered today in the retreat on an upcoming episode closer to Thanksgiving, in which we're going to talk about what did I write down? Well, it's going to be essentially things that truly matter, but that's not what I had. And then I had one that I thought was very funny. Let's see. Yeah, things that truly matter. And then I have one that I thought was really funny. We're going to do one called Sweet Baby Jesus.
Sweet Baby Jesus.
Christ's Childhood.
Where did you get that out of today?
I don't know.
God knows what I was saying.
You mentioned Christmas. And,
oh, okay.
And my mind started moving
I mentioned
direction.
Christmas? No
yeah,
way.
Never.
Yeah.
And so I, that came to mind, but.
Yeah, that was, that class today was loosely based on a book by Joshua Becker. It's not a quote unquote religious book, but
it does,
you can tell some threads in it.
And another idea was a religion of cats. That's going to be interesting.
The religion of cats?
The religion of cats.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll have an episode at some point, Stump the Pastors.
Stump the Pastors.
You all have to bring in questions to try to stump us.
Oh, wow. And we used to do that, once a quarter at my first, I haven't done it at MCC, first quarter at my first pastorate, we do, I call it Ask the Pastor. Mm-hmm. Usually it would be a midweek service. And but I always said, okay, you can ask me anything you want, but I have the right to say I don't know.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why don't we do a podcast called Ask Francis?
Ask Francis. Those that can't see, Francis is up here on the back of my chair, perched like a parrot on the back
Francis
of my chair.
Francis is making sure we say all the right things.
Right. He's the one feeding me all the good lines.
He'll be judging us later.
Right, right, right. So I think next week we're going to talk about living in a chaotic world.
That's a good one.
It's going to be post-election, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who are sad or upset one side or the other, and who think that the world is coming to an end. And so how do we live in that chaos that's been created by, you know, the pitting of each other against each other over elections and everything else? And how do we get through that and to somewhere that's a little bit better of a spot? So next week, that'll be our topic, living in a chaotic world. Any final thoughts, Reverend Mark?
I just think that, and I will dive harder into that as you alluded to, but I think we should step back and realize that moments that we, you know, don't have our routines or conveniences should be wake-up calls for us to remember that we are blessed people.
Right.
And that since we are a blessed people, we should be able to reach out to bless others, to be thankful and grateful, to live with a thankful heart, and to, if we have it in our ability and our power, to minister to somebody or open up and make something happen for somebody else, we should do that. We should take that opportunity. It was the small things, you know. I remember that pizza y'all brought me. That was the best pizza that I think I've ever eaten. That, you know, now was it, you know, like I said, it wasn't made in Italy. It wasn't made by an official Italian cook. But it was just, I was so thankful and grateful for the fellowship and for the get-together, for the food. Because, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich after a few days in a row is just a little much. And so, you know, you step back, and it's the little things in life that we should be eternally grateful for. And I think moments like that in our lives should make us appreciate when we succeed, when we move forward. And, you know, I remember the days when I was, you know, I had success as a pastor for a while. And then when I stepped out of my first pastorate, I lost so much income stepping out of that, you know, I had to sell my truck. I had to fix up this old beater car that I had.
Right.
I had to, I mean, I lived, my credit card stayed maxed out every time. I'd pay off the credit card and then get a little bit of credit left. That's what I would buy my groceries on, and then it would max out again.
Right.
And so now I step back and realize how blessed I am and remind myself on the regular, you know, live thankful for God's grace and God's mercy, and share that with others.
Absolutely. Bishop Ben, your final thoughts?
Well, you know, Reverend Mark pretty much covered it really well. You know, the only thing I could add to that is, you know, people that are in this world today, we are all in it together in a world that seems like it's upside down right now. I guess my best advice would be courteous to each other. Treat everybody like human beings.
Right.
Show love and compassion.
Absolutely. And my final thought is this. Even in the inconvenient times, don't let it shake your faith. Stand firm. As Paul says in Scripture, when you've done all you can to stand, stand. I think that's very wise advice, because I think it's so easy for us to be bogged down by even the inconveniences, to let ourselves end up just letting that overwhelm us, rob our joy. And so just keep on keeping on through thick and thin, my friends. Like I said, next week we'll be talking about living in a chaotic world. I want to thank Reverend Mark and Bishop Ben for joining me tonight.
It was wonderful to be here. Thanks for hosting us. And
you,
for Francis keeping us in line.
Yeah, Francis keeping us
in line. Thank you for having us.
And for Miss Dana bringing us better things to talk about.
Right. She needs to be off every Saturday night. So
that's right.
So until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright, my friends.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/expandingyourfaith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.